Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited. From the senior management, we have with us today Mr. Pankaj Oswal, promoter and director, Mr. Saurabh Gupta, whole-time director and chief financial officer, and Mr. Mackendra Samdani, consultant strategy and investments. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mackendra Samdani. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Samdani.
Thank you, Ranju. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the first ever earnings call of Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited. Before we begin the earnings call, I'd like to mention that some of the statements made during today's call might be forward-looking in nature, and hence it may involve risks and uncertainties, including those related to the future financial and operating performance. Please bear with us if there is a call drop during the course of the conference call. We would ensure the call is reconnected the soonest. Now I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Pankaj Oswal, Managing Director. Over to you, Mr. Pankaj.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the first ever earning call for Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited. Since this is the first time we are holding an earning call, and some of you might be hearing us for the first time, I will give a quick snapshot of the group and the history of the company. Firstly, about the Oswal Group. We are based in Bhilwara, Rajasthan, and are into phosphatic fertilizer manufacturing. We have four fertilizer companies in the group: a holding company, Oswal Phoschem India Limited, and three subsidiary companies, Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited, Krishna Phoschem Limited, and Sri Ganpati Fertilizer Limited. All the four companies are in phosphatic fertilizer business, with a total fertilizer manufacturing capacity close to 1.2 million tons. All the companies operate at different geographical locations, thereby creating a synergy at a group level. Coming to Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited, based in Madhya Pradesh, it was acquired by Oswal family in 2004 as a specialty manufacturing unit located in Sagar, Madhya Pradesh. We turned it profitable in the first year of full operation. It followed with series of backward and forward expansions along with product diversification by manufacturing DAP and NPK fertilizer in 2022. We entered this product by acquiring a closed down phosphoric acid unit, a key raw material feed for DAP and NPK. In the past 3 years, we have done expansions across the value chain of DAP and NPK, which is now giving excellent results. Currently, Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited has two plants located in Sagar, Madhya Pradesh, with a total manufacturing capacity of single superphosphate 2,40,000 tons and DAP and NPK 2,40,000 tons respectively, backed by raw material seed of capacities of phosphoric acid, sulfuric acid and beneficiated rock phosphate. As a strategy, we have grown by acquiring six or closed down fertilizer units. This asset-light strategy has kept our capex low, thereby enhancing our returns. We foresee ourselves to grow in similar manner. Capex plans. Taking experience of successfully running DAP and NPK plants, we entered into a definitive agreement to acquire a closed unit of DAP and NPK based in Dahej, Gujarat. This plant is being dismantled from Dahej and relocated to a new location in Nardana, Maharashtra, where we have acquired 5,87,000 square meter area on lease from MIDC. The strategy is to diversify the marketing coverage geographically to Maharashtra and below. We estimate this plan to be operational in September 26 end. This upcoming manufacturing unit at Nardana, Maharashtra will have additional 3,30,000 tons of DAP and NPK at a capex of 535 crores. Further, in Sagar, MP, at our existing manufacturing location, we plan to increase our phosphoric acid capacity in stages by 33,000 tons with a minor capex of ₹70 crores. This brownfield expansion is targeted to be captively consumed. With this, our phosphoric acid capacity at Sagar will increase from 49,500 to 82,000 tons in second quarter of 2026. We already have done the financial closure of ₹248 crores for Dhule project during the quarter with SBI, Axis Bank and Federal Bank. The closure showcases the confidence of banks on us with the project. on the current business environment, we have witnessed a very robust market for NPK for the beginning of Rabi season. The industry demands for the quarter is estimated to have grown 50% year on year. Our DAP NPK plant ran at 85% utilization, which is optimum. We could clock, thereby recording quarterly sales of 42,000 tons, which was up from 40% year on year due to the increased NPK sales. Our product mix has improved and we have been able to record EBITDA per ton of around rupees 5,000 tons for the quarter, which is highest for the year. We foresee that EBITDA per ton from the upcoming Maharashtra plant will be much higher, as it will only be manufacturing DAP and NPK, which is high margin product as compared to SSP. On subsidy scenario, we have observed largely stable raw material prices except for sulfur, which increased recently during the quarter. We foresee minor upward adjustment in the subsidy during the next subsidy cycle to offset that subsidy rise. On the financial performance for the quarter. For the quarter, our revenues were up by 16.4% year on year at ₹283.7 crore. EBITDA was up 124% year on year at ₹41 crore. PAT was up 126.9% year on year at ₹17.9 crore. And EBITDA per ton was up 113% year on year at ₹4823. Our total outstanding loans as of 31st December 24 is ₹211 crores, including long-term debt of ₹32 crores. The subsidy outstanding as of 31st December 2024 was ₹77 crores. The NPK sales was 42,000 tons, up 43% year on year, and SSP sales were 39,000 tons, up 5.4%. With this, I would like to open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question comes from the line of Parharash Rai with Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the great set of numbers. Can you hear me?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello. Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. Sir, I just wanted to confirm that the new Maharashtra plant, which will come up, it will come up in quarter 3 of FY27, right?
Yes.
FY22? Yes.
Because I think in your initial remarks, you said 26. So I just wanted to reconfirm that.
FY26.
FY26, it is 2026 end.
Okay, so 24 months, right? So 24 months from now.
Yes.
Right. And so the phosphoric acid expansion will be completed by quarter 2 of FY26. That is September of this year.
Yes.
September 26, quarter, second quarter of FY26.
So would you like to give a guidance for the financial year for FY26 and 27 in terms of top line and margins?
So I'll take this question, Pankaji. Prahar, broadly we won't be giving guidance, but what we can give is just a flavor about how our EBITDA should turn up. Currently if you see our EBITDA per ton, has clocked 4,800 odd for this quarter. And we see this, we should be touching the same range for the full year coming, for FY26. And when the Maharashtra project comes, we observe our EBITDA per ton for Maharashtra project will be much higher. It should be clocking more than 6,000 rupees per ton. So I think that will be a broad guideline on the numbers which we can give right now. In terms of top line, we will see minor jump.
Operator request has been initiated. If you'd like to cancel this request, please press star zero again.
Run rate of the margins will be quite high, if I'm not wrong.
Yes, yes. For Maharashtra, margins will be quite high.
Because post Maharashtra plan kicks in the next financial year, that is FY27, the exit EBITDA margins will be quite high, right, sir?
Yes, yes.
And what will be the ramp-up times for that new plant, sir? Any guidance on that? Because if the plant gets started in quarter three, I think it will take at least 2-3 months to stabilize and ramp up the capacity.
Yeah, yeah. So in our projections, we have taken around 40% utilization in the first year and then followed by full utilization in the coming year. That is FY28.
So FY28, we'll see a jump in our top line and bottom line both. Margin
yes,
and top line.
Full impact, yes. We will see in FY28.
When the full impact comes in.
Yeah.
And then what kind of working capital are we looking at for the current financial year and next financial year?
You mean to say working capital loan or what?
Working capital requirement.
Cycle.
The loan.
See, it will remain the same which is going on in the last quarter. I mean, as of September 24, which will have the similar cycle for this year. Because, see, in the full year, you will see a cycle of full season and low season. So September and March both are low season for us. And that is where the working capital increases.
90 days cycle?
I think for 31st March, average is 90 days, but as of 31st March, it is around about 100 days or more.
Okay.
See, already our present working capital has been tied up and the company has the requisite funds to do their business. And the working capital is around, as Mackendra told, it is around 4 to 5 months, and there is no issues in running the present operations of the company. We have adequate funds.
Okay, got it, sir. And the expansion is from internal accruals, right?
Both debt also. I told you in my speech that we have already the loans have been sanctioned from SBI, Federal Bank, and
yes,
Axis Bank.
So, what will be the peak debt level? What will be the peak debt level?
Peak debt level will be 350 crores.
350 crores.
You are including for next 3 years, I am saying, okay?
Yeah, yeah, for next 3 years, sir. For next 3 years. And this doesn't include the working capital loan, right?
Come again?
This doesn't include the working capital loan, right?
No. See, what we foresee is our 350 crores is the term loan which we will see in a long, in a peak period. Which is the term loan, not the working capital loan.
Perfect.
So, let me tell you the exact figures. Like we will be getting a loan of 248 odd crores in this new project. And
yeah.
Right now we have only around 30 crores outstanding for the present number. So the peak level for the term loan will be 248 crores, and further we have that fertilizer production also getting on. So the peak level will be around 350 crores, which will be in the year financial year 2026.
Or 27, sir.
Peak will be in 26.
Okay.
Okay. And sir, will you be comfortable giving a guidance on the pricing pressure of the products?
The pricing already, as I told you, there is some increase in raw material prices. So already the manufacturers have started increasing the prices. We have also increased the prices in the market. So, as the prices of raw material goes up, so we will increase the prices of fertilizers, and if the prices goes down, we will decrease the prices. Ultimately, the target is to give the fertilizers to the farmers at a reasonable price.
Right. And so for this current financial year, we'll be maintaining our EBITDA margin, right?
Definitely.
Okay. That's it for my side, sir. Congratulations and best of luck for your future endeavors. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Riju Dalui with Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Few questions. For DAP and NPK, we have a capacity of 240,000 tons, right? So how much that was backward integrated and like in a percentage term, so how much DAP and NPK is backward integrated?
See, for phosphoric acid, it is fully integrated. For ammonia, we are buying from outside. The sources are Indian manufacturers also, Indian urea manufacturers, as well as imported imported in the country.
Okay. So for phosphoric, we are fully backward integrated, right?
Yes.
Okay. So from where we are supplying, we are procuring rock phosphate for that?
We are buying rock phosphate from Jordan, from Egypt, and some of the rock which we beneficiate from buying from low grade and medium grade from the local mines also.
Understood. And in Q3 or like in the month of December, there was a sharp depreciation in rupees against dollar. So how it will impact your future procurement, or like how much inventory do you have in rock phosphate for a
We keep on covering the currency as we do the contract. So there is no issue for the present businesses, and the company's policy is to keep on covering as we do the contract.
Okay. So, sir, can you say that we are fully hedged in terms of currency?
Yes.
Okay, understood. But depreciating rupee can impact your margins going forward. So, can we take price hike in future if government do not provide any additional subsidy for that?
See, again, in India, the government objective or government target is to make availability of fertilizers in the country at reasonable prices to the farmers, and that availability should be consistent, continuous, and regular, and in terms of quantity, it should be adequate also. So it is on the government's part to increase or decrease the subsidies or allow the MRPs to flow at their own. So it is both ways. There is no risk. Either the government increases the subsidy or we increase the MRP.
Understood. And in Q3, you said that the EBITDA per ton for you was 5,000 rupees in this Q3. So how much that was in the last year same quarter?
Just hold on. I'll just pull out the figure. Yeah. So last year, same quarter, Q3 24 was 2,225.
Okay. So there was a sharp jump of 100% or more than 100% EBITDA per ton. So, how that was due to, like, how much would be due to the subsidy, increase in subsidy, or how much that would be due to the your raw material benefits. So how we can analyze that, like,
I'll tell you broadly, if you see the volume of NPK has increased substantially, the contribution vis-a-vis last year. So last year we had manufactured 32,000 in the same quarter last year, and this year we had 46,000. So the mix is more in favor of NPK, and that is one of the key reasons why I can say the attribution was there. In addition, obviously there was some increase in the subsidy also YOY. And that has also contributed to the increase in EBITDA per ton.
Understood. And so, was there any inventory gain for this quarter, and that has actually pushed your EBITDA per ton?
Inventory gains? I don't think so. Is there anything, Pankaji?
No. The subsidy figures do not change in this December. No? It changes in September and it changes in March.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Understood. So. Then you were saying that the gain in EBITDA per ton that we have seen this quarter, so that was mainly due to the product mix changes towards NPK. So can you say that shortages of DAP in the Q3 that has helped a lot to increase NPK sales volume?
See, one point is this DAP has been a traditional generic product, and definitely it has been a product which has been used by farmers since last 30, 40, 50 years and across the country and across the world. But what has happened in current situation or in last 3, 4, 5 years that right from farmer to the government has understood that the requirement of soils is more of NPKs rather than DAP, because DAP has a standard composition of 1846 and with NPKs it has different types of combinations. So definitely the farmers as well as the government is trying to shift towards NPKs, and we will see NPKs coming up like anything in future also.
No, sir, I understood that, but like this year there was a gap shortages in the domestic market.
Yes.
So how that helped to increase the NPK volumes?
See, ultimately, India's demand for phosphatic fertilizer is around 250,000 tons of fertilizers in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, and which in earlier years, it was maximum of DAPs and less of NPKs, but gradually it is shifting to 50-50 ratio across the country. So definitely, it is both. It is the demand from the farmers as well as the shortage of DAP.
So it is both.
It is both. Requirement from the soils and the shortage of DAP. But definitely in coming years, NPKs will be in demand, because now the farmers have started understanding that product.
Got it. And the other question was like the new capacity expansion that you have mentioned earlier for DAP and NPK, 3.3 lakh metric ton kind of capacity that you have announced. So will that be fully backward integrated, or like how that would be?
In terms of phosphoric acid, it is fully integrated. And in terms of ammonia, again, we will be buying from local urea manufacturers as well as importers.
Understood. So, sir, for phos acid backward integration, there are some byproduct or gypsum kind of thing. So how are you handling those things?
See, gypsum is the only byproduct in case of phosphoric acid. And as you are already aware, that most of the phosphoric acid plants are on the coastal areas, right? And
right.
We are the only manufacturers who are based in the central part of the country. We have already experience of running this phosphoric acid plants in state of Madhya Pradesh, and we are putting up another plant in Maharashtra. So, and around these plants, there are a lot of cement manufacturing units are there. So big cement manufacturers are there. And this gypsum is going to cement manufacturers, and it is being in demand from cement manufacturers. So there is no issue of disposal of gypsum right now.
Understood. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Heath with Ashika. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on the great set of numbers. So my first question is on the structure. So in the Ostwal Group, we have three subsidiary companies. If you could help us understand how are these three subsidiaries related to each other and the scope of related party transactions as well?
So, let me recall the history of our Ostal group. We took over this Ostal Foschem India Limited way back in 2000-2001, and then after this we took over this Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited and Krishna Foschem Limited, and further last unit Shri Ganpati Fertilizers Limited. All these units were taken over plants at different locations, different geographical locations. And these companies, as I told you, were at different geographical locations. So they had their own potential to do their business in their geographical locations. Like we talk about Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited, that the unit was taken over as a SSP plant. Then we established the beneficiated rock phosphate plant. Then sulfuric acid. Further increase in SSP, single super phosphate fertilizer, then phosphoric acid and DAP NPK. And the fertilizer is being sold in that geographical area. It does not clash with any other area. So this is the, since it was taken over, so we have continued with these operations, these companies, and still propose to continue in the same structure only.
So we do not have any related party transactions across the three subsidiaries.
Ostal Foschem is the holding company, and this Madhya Bharat, Krishna Foschem and Ganpati are the subsidiary company. Ostal Foschem has invested and more than 50% of the shareholding in all these three companies is held by Ostal Foschem.
Understood, sir. And sir, management, just wanted to confirm, sir, the management team across all the three subsidiaries are different, and I'm saying geographically these three subsidiaries sell to different regions, but on the management structure, do we have all the three subsidiaries management different?
No, Ostal Foschem, Madhya Bharat and Krishna Foschem, in fact, all the four companies, I and Praveen Ostwal and my father in Ganpati, all the three are directors.
Okay, sir, understood, sir. And sir, next question is on this, the QIP, QIP. So the 200 crore approval which the board has given, sir, what are the plans ahead, sir? What are these funds going to be utilized for?
See, we are coming up with a project whereby we would be in requirement of the funds. Already the funds have been tied up with the banks, but still we are approaching the investors to invest in our company. We have already planned and appointed a consultant as well. So he will be taking up that whole process, and let's hope that we can expect to complete this whole process in coming months.
So, sir, this is for a greenfield project which you are eyeing. The funds which will be raised.
I'm not able to hear you.
Sir, I'm saying the funds which will be raised will be used for greenfield project.
Yes, sir. It will be for the Julia project. Nardana, I told you about the Prasta project. Hello?
Yes, sir.
The funds will be used in that Maharashtra project.
It's Maharashtra project. That's okay, sir. Perfect. And sir, last question is on the sir maintenance capex here across all these three facilities. Let's just talk about Madhya Bharat. Sir, the two factories which we are running. Sir, I just wanted to understand, sir, what kind of maintenance capex do we incur every year at these factories?
Maintenance expenditure currently across in existing company, we have 20 crore rupees per month. Per year, 20 crore rupees store and spares expenditure, maintenance expenditure we have.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Vaibhav Barjatia with Honesty and Integrity Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for providing me the opportunity. So I actually missed initial, 10-15 minutes of the call. So pardon me if I repeat something. But, government has extended this ad hoc subsidy on DAB, I think, for till December this year. So given the current subsidy and the MRP fixed by the government, what's your assessment on the on DAP in terms of viability to import and sell domestically?
See, if you talk particularly about DAP manufacturing or imports, still it is unviable. So our company is already manufacturing 2020-013 particular product of NPK, one of the product of NPK. And let's see what happens in April, because after this extension of rupees 3500 and it's marking that MRP at 1350, still the 1350 per bag, it is still difficult, not a profit making product right now.
Okay, got it, understand. Yes, thank you, that's it from my side, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Makento Samdani for closing comments.
Thanks. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call, and we hope to continue this call again next quarter and see you again during the next call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.